Part 2, Heart Sutra Lesson 2, 2.1, Definition. Thus have I heard, implies suchness or thusness of things or tathāgata. The Buddha is also called the Tathāgata, meaning he is the Tathāgata who is an expert in tathāgata or suchness. The Buddha understands truth as it is because truth is the isness of things or suchness via accepting what is. 2.2 Important quotations from Sixth Patriarch Huineng's Platform Sutra. 1. Introduction. One day, while delivering firewood to a store, Huineng heard a customer reciting the Diamond Sutra and had an awakening when he heard the stanza, "The mind must have no dwelling." He immediately inquires about the sutra and decides to seek out the fifth patriarch, Hongren, at his monastery on Huangmei Mountain. Huineng then embarks on his journey, and after traveling for 30 days on foot, he arrives at Huangmei Mountain, where the fifth patriarch was residing. 2. From the first chapter of the Ming Canon version of the Platform Sutra, the fifth patriarch asked me, "Who are you and what do you seek?" I replied, "Your disciple is a commoner from Xinzhou of Lingnan. I have traveled far to pay homage to you and seek nothing other than Buddhahood. So you are from Lingnan, a southerner and a barbarian. How can you expect to become a Buddha?" asked the fifth patriarch. I replied, "Although people exist as northerners and southerners, in the Buddha nature, there is neither north nor south. A barbarian differs from your holiness physically, but what difference is there in our Buddha nature?"
This reply is very wonderful. So you are cultivated all the way, you will be amazed by how Huineng replied. So when people ask you, "Who are you? Where are you from?" You don't try to imitate the text. "I am from a rural area. I come and seek Buddhahood." Nothing else but Buddhahood. But you got that path, that capacity, then you can. Then when the feedback here actually indirectly is to test Huineng. "Oh, so you are from Lingnan," is mentioned. "A southerner. Last time in China, the capital is in the north, Beijing. These are educated people, Bay, North. The South one are normally less educated. That's why they call them barbarian. Then how can you expect to be a Buddha?" But cultivator all the way will realize the self nature, the true nature. They will know. That's why Huineng's reply implied deeply that he has realized the true mind. He said, "Although people agree in the conditioned world, in our society as northerner and southerner." So you understand his reply or not? He's very specific. So society or the conditioned world may divide human being into northerner and southerner. But in the Buddha nature, there is no word, no concept. There is neither north nor south. So a barbarian differs from your holiness physically. But what's the difference? There is, when it comes to the individual Buddha nature. So this reply actually clearly signifies Huineng has the understanding. That's why the Master Hongren, you continue. The fifth patriarch immediately asked him to go kiosk in the rice mill Then Hui Ning chopped firewood and pound the rice in the monastery for the next 8 months. So you are not patient, you don't expect to receive the Dhamma. 8 months old, he was asked to chop firewood and pound rice. Okay, continue, yes.
Master Hongren, the fifth patriarch, immediately asked him to do chores in the rice mill. Hui Neng chops firewood and pound rice at the monastery for the next 8 months. 3. Becoming the sixth patriarch. One day, Master Hongren announced the question of incessant rebirth is a momentous one. Day after day, instead of trying to free yourself from this bitter sea of life and death, you seem to go after tainted merits only, that is, marriage which will cause rebirth. Yet, marriage will be of no help if your essence of mind is obscure. Go and seek prajna, wisdom in your own mind, and then write me a sanda gatha about it. He who understands what the essence of mind is will be given the robe, the insignia of the patriarchship, and the dhamma, the ultimate teaching of the Chan school, and I shall make him the sixth patriarch. Go away quickly, delay not in writing the stanza, as deliberation is quite unnecessary and of no use. The man who has realized the essence of mind can speak of it at once, as soon as he is spoken to about it, and he cannot lose sight of it, even when engaged in battle.
Okay, so now we go through this. This is very beautiful, especially the last sentence. You listen. The cultivator, although here they use the man, who has realized the essence of mind, means your true nature, can speak of it at once, spontaneously. He no need to recall memory or check the textbook. No need. As soon as he is spoken to about it, means you ask, he answer. You ask, he answer. He share. He no need to refer to anything. Why? Because he cannot lose sight of it. Means what? No need to remember on. He awakened, that nature awakening is always there. It's not a knowledge, it's not a memory. So you don't have to remember. That's why I say, don't try to remember. Whatever you have realized, you think so beautiful, you try to remember. That is a very common mistake. A lot of cultivators get trapped because they go back to the old way. They think by remembering that wisdom can be retained. But that wisdom that arises is not from the thought. So if you go back to the thought, you will get trapped. That's why here you say, even when engaged in battle, means going through war, life and death, the cultivator that has realized the essence of mind, the true nature, can never forget. He understands what that thing is. That's why that wisdom is always there. Don't need to carry in your memory. That's why this one died already. You don't have to worry that it will not be your spiritual nature will have it. But the problem with your spiritual nature is you cannot inherit until you connect and you come as a common mind. Do you understand? It's not like karma. Karma, the moment you are born, immediately you are born or heir to it, condition is supported by it, and you are what you are because of it. But the spiritual nature doesn't function like that. It needs causes and conditions for it to have the ability to be inherited. And that one, because it's a spiritual nature, you need to connect to your true nature. You need to realize the essence of mind. That's why in Mahayana, they say it's something to do with realizing the nature. Liao Liao Qian Xing. Or the other one is Ming Xing Qian Xing. Maybe you can help write it. Ming Xing Qian Xing or Liao Liao Qian Xing. When you have realized the essence of mind or the true mind, oh, don't have any place to write. Got place to write, right? Oh yeah, taken the photo. Okay, can rub a bit. I think the fire aggregate can rub off. So this one can rub off. Then you can write over here. Ming xing jian xing or liao liao jian xing chang zu. Well, this saying is very beautiful. Ming xing is that mind that has realized itself through that nature will realize the essence of mind. Okay? So always remember, don't make the mistake. The true wisdom is, once the awareness nature awakens, you no need to remember, it's there already. They're connected to the form and mind. So when things happen, spontaneously, that wisdom will manifest. He will understand. That's why he can answer the Vipetya there and then. Do you understand? Then the first part, the question of incessant rebirth is a momentous one with this cycle of birth and death, samsara, is a very serious matter. Day after day, instead of trying to free yourself from the bitter sea of birth and death or life and death. This is a direct translation from Mahayana, Kuhaya. Where the description of suffering in samsara is like suffering within the sea of birth and death. So bitter sea of life and death or birth and death. You seem to go after tinted merit only. That is merits that will still bring about rebirth. So what is tinted merit? Living beings are very fond of what? Doing dana, nasana. Make donation here, make donation there. Doing all the meritorious things. These are useful. These are important. But you have to understand, if you don't develop the wisdom, this merit can support you in some way from the law of karma aspect. But it cannot liberate your mind and free you from suffering. But without wisdom, suffering will continue. So the Vipetya make it very, very clear and advise them, don't go after tinted merit because your birth and death matter. That's why you must have that understanding. Then strive on with it for it to develop this understanding. Then the Vipetya wanted them to come out with a stanza or what they call a gatha, that they know that they understand the essence of mind will be given the patriarchy. That's why later on, Shen Xiu couldn't come out with that stanza. He wrote a poem, a stanza. But that poem doesn't reflect that he has seen the nature. He has realized the essence of mind. That's why finally, the Vipetya decide to hand over the patriarchship to Huinen. So hopefully with this, you all can develop the understanding. Okay, Tammy, you read on.
However, the disciples said to each other that they didn't need to write any gatha, and that surely their teacher and head monk, Venerable Shen Xiu, would become the sixth patriarch. So only Shen Xiu wrote a gatha for Master Hong Ren. But as the head monk, Shen Xiu was well respected and under great pressure to produce a gatha that would qualify him as the next patriarch. However, he was uncertain as to his own understanding and eventually decided to write a poem anonymously on the wall in the middle of the night, announcing his ownership. Only if Master Hongren approved of it, he stated, "The body is like a Bodhi tree. The mind a mirror bright on a stand, polished until it shines, so that no dust can alight."
You also read the Mandarin, huh?
真是菩提树, 心如明镜台, 时时勤拂拭, 勿使惹尘埃. When the disciples saw this gata on the wall, there was a great stir, but when Master Hongren saw it, he told them, "Practice according to this gata. You will not fall into the evil realm, and you will receive great benefits. Light incense and pay respect to this gata. Recite it, and you will see your essential nature." All the disciples praised and memorized the gata. However, privately, Master Hongren told Chen Xiu, "You have arrived at the gate of enlightenment, but haven't entered it. With this level of understanding, you still have no idea what the Supreme Body Mind is. Upon hearing my words, you should immediately recognize the original mind, the essential nature, which is unborn and unceasing. At all times, see it clearly in every thought. With the mind free from all hindrances, in the one reality, everything is real, and all phenomena are just as they are."
Okay, very good. So you look at this particular paragraph, it's so beautiful. And actually, the fifth Vidya hinted to Chen Xiu, "You should automatically realize that nature." But Chen Xiu don't have the roots. He was so near and yet so far. Why? So we will discuss this, which is very important. So when the fifth Vidya commended Chen Xiu for the stanza, or the poem, he told all the other disciples, he said, "This is good. Practice according to this gata. You will not fall into the evil realm," which is very true. Well, this is mindfulness at the Theravada level, and you will receive great benefits. Very true. "Light incense and pay respect to this gata." Yes, at the Theravada level. "Recite it, and you see." "Recite it, and you will see your essential nature." Means when you really cultivate, recite it, diligently cultivate it, then one day when your parami is there, if you have your path, you straight away will realize your essential nature. So all this hinted to Chen Xiu, and he somehow talked to Chen Xiu privately. He said, "You have arrived at the gate of enlightenment, but you haven't entered it. With this level of understanding, you still have no idea what that Supreme Bodhi is, or the true mind, the Bodhi mind is. So upon hearing my words," means the words of the fifth Vidya, "you should immediately recognize the original nature, or the true mind, the essential nature, which is the unborn and unseen." Yeah. Then the next sentence is very important. "At all times, see it clearly in every thought." This is what the realization is. Your mindfulness and the clarity of awareness is so stable. At all times, realize that nature. See it clearly. So this particular stanza is very important. This particular Understanding is very important. At the end, he adds in this one, at all times, see it clearly in every thought, with the mind free of all mental hindrance. Means your spiritual faculty must be very stable too. Then only you can have this ability to see that nature, to realize that nature. Means that nature is all the time with you. In that one reality, everything is real. And all phenomena are just as they are. You know, that thing is the unconditioned. That thing reflects truth and reality. You understand? So why did the Vipassana say that? You have to understand from the poem. Because Sunsiu, he followed the Theravada tradition. He said, our body is like a bohi tree. You know what is a bohi tree? What is a bohi tree? It's the tree that the Buddha sat beneath and become enlightened. Yeah. Bohi signifies enlightenment. Then why he say your body is like the bohi tree? Based on your understanding of the Theravada teaching. The Buddha mentioned it a few instances. One of them, he said, within this phantom length body, along with perception, thought, and mindfulness, I proclaim the world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that leads to the cessation. Means this physical body, if you know how to make use of it to cultivate, means within this phantom length body, along with perception and thought, and also mindfulness, he can proclaim the Four Noble Truths. Which means what? That this physical body with the five aggregate can bring about awakening, enlightenment. The other part that the Buddha mentioned is the four foundation of mindfulness. You remember? The four foundation of mindfulness. He said, this is the only way, ekayano bhikkhave bhikkhu, for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, to realize the enlightenment, namely the four foundation of mindfulness. So if you develop mindfulness on this four foundation, you will realize enlightenment. And what are the four foundation? What are the four foundation? What are the four foundation? Huh? Kaya, Vedana, Citta, and Dhamma. Within your physical body, do you have all this? You have, isn't it? This one, Kaya, is a physical body, isn't it? Physical body. This Vedana is the feeling aggregate. And this Citta is your thought, or some point. The content of consciousness. Then this Dhamma is essentially truth of Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. Without the five aggregate of form and mind, you cannot arise. You cannot know the world. You cannot interact with the world. That's why everything that happens within the form and mind is the truth, is the reality. That's why you can cultivate mindfulness of kaya, kaya nupassana, mindfulness of feeling, Vedana Nupassana, then mindfulness of the thought process or the, they call it the content of consciousness, Citta Nupassana. Then you can also cultivate Dhamma Nupassana, mindfulness of Dhamma, the five category of Dhamma that the Buddha taught. But these are the truth that he has taught. That's why Sunsiu knew this. That's why he said our body is like a bohi tree. Because these four things are there. If you cultivate it, you can realize the enlightenment. But he went very diligently and he did until, I should say, he is already almost there. That's why the Fifth here said at the gate of enlightenment. But he doesn't know how to go in. Why? Because enlightenment inside got no name, no concept one. So what happened is, the next stanza, what did he say? Our mind is, what did he say? Look.
Like a mirror, right? Like a mirror on the stand.
Mirror bright on a sand. Is that the true mind? It's definitely not the true mind. Yeah, he thinks that mundane mind that keep on reflecting, yeah, is the true mind. That's why he get caught. But he know he must use that to cultivate. That's why he said that mind, you must polish until it shine. Means what? Bright and clear. Means no defilement. Ever radiating, shining. Then, so that no dust can alight, which is avoiding all evil. You could understand that. But he doesn't know how to purify the mind to realize the true mind. Because the true mind is nothing to do with the thought, the mundane mind. What he needs is don't hold on to the practice. Who practice? The thought practice. And he didn't stabilize his mindfulness, awareness. He hold on to the teaching and very, very diligently cultivate. And yet he's trapped. So now you understand why he cannot go through. But to him, he still thinks his stanza and poem is correct. He has done nothing wrong. That's why he think and think and think for many days. He cannot come up with the answer. So what happened is, he failed to penetrate reality because he doesn't have the true mind or the silent mind to observe and to realize that nature, to insight into phenomena and go beyond reality. So he's caught in reality. When he says, so that no dust can alight, what does it mean? What is dust? Huh? Defilement, isn't it? So he still got duality. He still got defilement and wholesomeness, non-defilement. That's why he wants the perfect, the wholesome. The unwholesome with the evil root, he doesn't want. And what are you doing? You create duality through what? Like the Buddha said, imas means sati idang hoti. When this arises, that arises. When you have dust, you will have the opposite. And this is what your thought create. And through your own thought's creation, this duality, you want to root it out. With what? With thought again. So if you were to follow his instruction, polish until it shines so that no dust can alight, what will you become? Can you live life or not? Every day also ever mindful, must not have defilement. That is not wisdom, Manasana. When you have wisdom, you don't have to do anything. You're just silent. Then you observe, you understand, then you transcend reality. To transcend reality means don't hold on to anything. Don't try to know. Develop the awareness nature. That's why silent everything, Wu Nian. He didn't read the six patriarchs platform sutra, the three hallmarks of waiting. He didn't read. But he read a lot of Theravada Foundation. Understand? So he got caught. Then coming to what Ng Bee has written here for me, Ming Xing Jian Xing. You must have the clarity of mind, means the silent mind, the true mind, to realize that nature. Jian Xing is to realize that nature. Then the other one is Liao Liao Jian Xing, exactly like what the fifth patriarch said. When you clearly realize that nature, you no need to remember. Anytime, anywhere, that understanding is there. Even in battle, that understanding is there. That's why you must realize it until it's very clear. Liao Liao Jian Xing, until you understand what that nature is. Then you will see the big difference between what that nature, the true mind, the awareness nature, and the mundane mind that create all the havoc through delusion, through wrong thought, through wrong view. That is what the teaching is all about. So now you have a clearer picture or not. Yeah? So do not be gullible. The sutta are beautiful. but can only be understood by the enlightened being. If you don't have the awakening enlightenment, you go and interpret the sutta and through commentary you want to share and teach, you better be careful. What you share and what you teach can never be the truth. Why I say that? Because without that nature realizing it, no way, no way. It becomes knowledge, thought-based. You cannot awaken. Can follow? So this one is very important. Huh? Okay, continue. Huh?
Master Hongren asked Chen Xiu to compose another gatha that demonstrated true understanding. Chen Xiu tried hard but couldn't come up with another verse. When a young novice passes the rice mill reciting Chen Xiu's gatha, Hui Neng immediately knew the verse lacked true insight. He went to the wall and asked a district officer there to write a poem of his own for him. The officer was surprised. How extraordinary you are, literate, and you want to compose a gatha. Whereupon Hui Neng said, if you seek supreme enlightenment, do not slight anyone. The lowest class may have great insight, and the highest class may commit foolish acts. In veneration, the officer wrote Hui Neng's gatha on the wall for him, next to Chen Xiu's, which stated, body is fundamental without any tree. The mind is neither a sand nor a mirror bright. Originally, there was nothing. Where can any dust alight?
Okay, read the mantra.
菩提本无树，明镜亦非台，本来无一物，何处惹尘埃？
Now you can understand the six patriarch sutta. Hui Neng, now become very clear, very easy. Yeah, after you realize that nature, you realize Chen Xiu was completely out. Then he took the mundane mind to be the true mind. That's why he tears Chen Xiu's poem apart. The first sentence stands already tear apart. Gu Ti Bo Hi. Fundamentally, it's not a tree. Means you may be correct, but you don't know how to cultivate. That's why it leads you to reality that obstructed your ability to understand and awaken. So he said, fundamentally, Bohi is not a tree. And that's kind of, when you talk about Bohi tree, body is like a Bohi tree. Because Bohi is what? Wisdom, isn't it? So wisdom is to awaken too. How can it be a tree? So because of that, the first stanza already tear him apart. Then he said, your mundane mind, 明镜亦非台. He said, the true mind has nothing to do with the mirror bright and the stand. You understand? Huh? Then what is the true mind? Hui Neng act. What did he act? 本来无一物. What is the meaning? Originally, it's empty. There's nothing inside there. Where can the dust alight? The duality that you create. Who hold on to that reality? Who grabs? The deluded one with the five aggregate of form and mind, so deludedly conditioned, become upadana khanda, then you grab. That's how you get into trouble. Originally, that true mind, that nature, is empty. 本来无一物. So when you don't give rise to a thought, to an idea, to duality, you don't grasp and hold on to that duality, then where is the dust? Like the Buddha mentioned, imas means sati, idang hoti. When this arises, that arises. That imas means asati. When this ceases, that ceases. So it's very clear, isn't it? When you create one aspect of the duality, when you say dust, the other side automatically Like you say, good. Whatever that is not good, the opposite will arise. Understand? So when you don't hold on to the duality, means there is no good, means no bad. Then who is creating all this delusion and fall into his own creation developed by the mundane mind and the thought? So since you fail to understand this, so with Hui Neng's poem, that's why they know this guy, although illiterate, if he can come up with this style of stanza or poem, he is the real one. That's why after that you read on, you will understand. Yeah?
Hui Neng then went back to rice pounding. However, this data created a bigger stir. Everyone was saying, amazing, you can't judge a person by his looks. Maybe he will become a living bodhisattva soon. However, when Master Hongren came out, he just casually said, this hasn't seen the essential nature either, and proceeded to wipe the gata off with his shoe. The fifth patriarch then went secretly to the room where the rice was pounded. Seeing that Hui Neng was working there with a stone pestle, he said to him, a seeker of the path risked his life for the Dhamma. Should he not do so? The fifth patriarch then asked, is the rice ready? Hui Neng replied, ready long ago, only waiting for the sea.
So this is the most beautiful one. Huh? He actually has the understanding already, but he needs somebody to actually just give him a pointer or two. Then he will come to great awakening. That's why the fifth day here say, he dare to say, this hasn't seen the essential nature either. Based on what? Based on Hui Neng coming to see him. What did Hui Neng say? I seek Buddhahood. He doesn't know how to walk that way. He wants to understand how to walk that way to Buddhahood. That's why he is very unique. He has realized the true mind, that the essential nature to be the Buddha, he hasn't realized. That's why he seeks Buddhahood. That's why he told the people here, I came to seek for only Buddhahood, nothing else. You teach me the same good way or I'm not interested. So this is the meaning. And the other aspect of this sixth Vipya Sutta is you look at the way Hongren, the fifth patriarch, communicate with Hui Neng. The next part is the most beautiful. When the fifth patriarch agree to meet up with Hui Neng in the middle of the night, Sankankan, I think. I don't know what time is it. It's in the Mandarin or the olden days Chinese way of specifying what time. I think every can is about 2 hours, yeah, not wrong. Yeah? Sankapun, yeah, middle of the night. So when he went and see him, immediately he passed him the mind-to-mind seal understanding, where the patriarchship is being transmitted. And the fifth patriarch knew, very easy to awaken meaning. Yeah, he has realized the true mind. He has the understanding. The only thing is he doesn't know how to walk the bodhisattva way to Buddhahood. To walk the bodhisattva way to Buddhahood is, again, to understand the two aspects of Dhamma. The conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma. That's why the moment the moment the fifth patriarch came to that explanation, he said, this mundane mind, you must learn how to use it and not be deluded by it. That one trigger of great awakening in Hui Neng. Because his problem is, he was born without the mundane mind, understand? Hui Ning was born without a mundane mind. That's why he cannot understand what this thing is. He doesn't understand, human being cannot understand all the way they have this mundane mind, this problem. So when he mentioned that, Hui Ning straight away realized that birth after birth, when you come as a living being, there is this mundane mind. Even though that life, he was born without the mundane mind. That's how you can understand all this. He inherited it. Then when he told him that, then he know how to live life within the conditioned world. Understand now? Even though he used his supramundane mind. But he still know there is a duty and all those things. The five agreeable mind. So everything becomes clear to him. Then his amazing statement, he said, how amazing is it? Those few descriptions about that nature that he suddenly came to understand was so beautiful, so profound. You read on, then I will explain again. This one I explained before, but that time you are not ready to receive all this deep understanding. Read on.
The thief patriarch then knocked the mortar twice with his stick and left. Knowing what the fifth haircut meant, in the midnight at the third watch, Hui Neng went to the fifth haircut's room. That night, Master Hong Ren received Hui Neng in his abode and expounded the Diamond Sutra to him. When he came to the passage, to use the mind yet be free from any attachment, Hui Neng came to great enlightenment. That all dharma are inseparable from the self nature. He explained how amazing that the self nature is originally pure, how amazing that the self nature is unborn and undying, how amazing that the self nature is inherently complete, how amazing that the self nature neither moves nor stays, how amazing that all dharma come from this self nature. Master Hong Ren told Hui Neng, if one recognizes the original mind and the original nature, he is called a great man, teacher of gods and humans, and a Buddha. He passed the rope and begging bowl as a symbol of the Dharma seal of sudden enlightenment to Hui Neng. Although this story is as clearly stated as it can be, it should also be noted that Hui Neng was not permitted to make himself known as the sixth patriarch until later on. This was due to the fear that his fellow monks might be angered and harm him, that he had been made the sixth patriarch and not Shen Xiu, or one of the other monks who had seniority over him.
Okay, good. So this part is the most beautiful, huh? You see, after Shen Xiu failed to come up with a stanza, the fifth patriarch decided to call Hui Neng in. And with his understanding, he will definitely be the next patriarch. That's why when he called him in, when he reached that path, actually he was proclaiming the Diamond Sutta. So the Diamond Sutta, he must have mentioned the four stanza. 一切有为法，如梦幻泡影，如露亦如电，应作如是观. Straight away, Hui Ning will understand. Then after that, he continued to explain further. He said, this mind, he said, you must learn how to use it, yet be free from any attachment or deluded by it. And that is the mundane mind. That's why with that, the whole zigzag muscle fall into place. Hui Ning only need to understand that. Then he straight away knew the mundane mind is the one that created all this phenomenal world. That's why he straight away expressed that understanding to the fifth patriarch. How amazing that the self nature is originally already perfect, pure, understand now? How amazing that the self nature is unborn, undying. That's why I say it's eternal. It was never born. How can it die? That's why it's the unborn. And because it's never born, it can never die. Then how amazing that the self nature is inherently already complete. Guess what? You don't have to do anything. The two mind already there. Understand or not? Without thought, it's already there. It's just like you search for truth. That truth is already within you, but you still don't believe. Your thought tell you so. No, no, no. I must go to this religion. I must go to that religion. I must do this. I must do that. I must do all that. What they call so-called spiritual activity and meditate and do all those things. The real meditation is like what Jai Krishnamurti said. There is no effort. Wherever there is effort, there is no meditation. Wherever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. What does it point out to you? Who is the meditator? The thought, isn't it? Because without thought, you don't know how to meditate. That's why you start with thought. So Jai Krishnamurti say, wherever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. Which is so true. Because it's supposed to start with awareness. No one inside that. Then, who is the one that exerts effort? Practice, want to be enlightened. It's the thought again, isn't it? That's why wherever there is effort, somebody creates to do things or exert whatever to drive the practice is creating more thought. That's why there is no meditation. So with all this understanding, Huineng actually under the Sixth Vaidya Sutta developed a very good Mahayana understanding of what that true nature is, what that true mind is. That's why he came out with the three hallmarks after that. Before him, there was no such understanding and teaching. He said, the way he teach is different from the previous teacher. He takes you direct to the true mind, the silent mind. That's why he come out with the first hallmark is Wunian. He said, develop this ability to be without thought. So all this come from his understanding and he realized it. This nature is without thought. That's why thought-based meditation will fail. You cannot touch that nature. When thought is active, you can never be in the state of awareness. Man can only do one thing at a time. When you are completely silent without thought, then you can be aware of what is going on. But when you are lost in thought, preoccupied with your thinking, verbalization and chattering, or whatever duality inside there, when thought is active, how can you be aware? Understand or not? And this is very clear to cultivators who have the understanding. So to have this ability to understand this, and from now onward, stop be deluded by the thought again, to analyze, to reason, and to do all those like justification or what. Then deludedly, diligently, practice. Who practice? That's why all the method and technique are skillful means to train the mind to be aware. After that, stabilize it. There is no practice. Why must you practice to be aware when you already aware? It's like you ask a fish to practice how to swim. Understand? The fish by nature know how to swim. Like our physical body. The physical body is actually lighter than water. Understand now? So its true nature is, I always use the word wrongly, a buoyancy.
Buoyance.
Means To learn how to sweep, you don't have to practice, understand? You don't have to like try very hard. Where you're scared you drown, understand? But the moment you go into water, every part sink down, understand? Then when you completely let go and they tell you you will float, you don't believe because the buoyancy force hasn't built up. You continue to go down. But if you have the faith and the patience, you continue to let it go down, then suddenly you realize there is a buoyancy force that push you up. Then you realize you float. And to swim, no need effort, just move. Understand now? So you are in the state of buoyancy. That is your natural state. So your mind is the same. The true mind is that nature. And that nature is what you are seeking to realize, to awaken to. But you don't believe that you have that nature. That's why the teachings say every living being, they have the Buddha nature. Yeah, every form and mind, there's a gateway to connect you to that nature. But to connect, you must cease the thinking, the mundane mind, the delusion that created all this. Avijja Paccaya Sankhara, the dwelling Paticca Samuppada. You have to cease all this. So this particular sutta is most beautiful. Okay? So let us rejoice. Eh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Third chapter. 1.1. Why must we go through the introduction by Master Xuan Hua? Question 1. Why must we go through the introduction by Master Xuan Hua instead of going into the Heart Sutra teaching directly? Brother Dio said, a very good question. It will be like building a high-rise building without having a stable foundation. As I have explained, the Heart Sutra is a very profound teaching and it must be understood that without a proper foundation being taught to you, it is almost near to impossible to understand this teaching. Unless some of you have had some very strong past cultivation to help support you in the understanding of this sutra. Hence, this is the reason why I started off by introducing to you the final summary of the First Noble Truth of Dukkha, followed by an in-depth explanation of the meaning of the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind in the first Heart Sutra class. This is to help establish a basis for you to understand the great similarity between Sakyamuni Buddha's teaching and that the Heart Sutra as founded by Guanyin Bodhisattva. Both teachers emphasize the importance of understanding the five aggregates of form and mind and why they are all empty, that is anatta and sunyata. The introduction by Master Xuan Hua also explained how wonderful and full of wisdom this sutra is and also why it is so important to read through this sutra diligently many times because each repetition will reveal to the reader a new depth or a new level of understanding, thus bringing about immeasurable benefits. In a book 10 times its length, one could not fully praise its value as a key to the understanding of human life. Hence the famous saying, true emptiness is wonderful existence. That is, understanding true emptiness can lead to deep understanding of human life. Hence, life or existence will become very meaningful and very wonderful once this Heart Sutra wisdom has been developed. Master Xuan Hua also stressed on the importance of having real spiritual understanding rather than deep learning or knowledge-based understanding. Only as a true prerequisite for expounding this Heart Sutra. The main concern of the Heart Sutra and all the other sutras that the Buddha has spoken is simply to understand deeply the birth, life, and death of living beings. Answering questions like, why must we avoid all evil, do good, and purify our minds? Why are we born, and where will we go when we die? What we must do while here? How we can stop our suffering and find true happiness for ourselves and others? What is death? What dies and who dies? Who are you and what are you? What is life? How to understand its meaning and purpose? 1.2. Why must we also study the Six Patriarch Platform Sutra? Question 2. Why must we also study the Six Patriarch Platform Sutra? Brother Teo replied, as the Heart Sutra teaching is so profound because it is beyond thought, beyond mind, and beyond the conditioned world. Hence, we need to understand the Six Patriarch Platform Sutra, especially so the two famous poems as written by Sun Xiu and Hui Neng. Only then can we develop the understanding to go beyond mind, to understand the Heart Sutra, which is so abstract, with saying like form is emptiness and emptiness is form, and therefore in true emptiness there is no form, feeling, etc. No eyes, ears, no sight, sound, no field of eyes up to include, and including no field of mind consciousness, no ignorance or ending of ignorance, up to and including no old age, sickness and death, or ending of it, and no four noble truths, and no understanding and no attaining, etc. 1.3. Six Patriarch Platform Sutra. Based on this poem, then, Sun Xiu has yet to realize the true mind, hence his inability to comprehend the higher Dharma as realized by Hui Neng. The reason being he is using the mundane mind to cultivate, hence the delusion. In my second and this third Heart Sutra classes recap, I delved in more detail into Hui Neng's Platform Sutra, and I also taught you how to see form, the unreality of form, its condition arising, or impermanent nature, and its non-self and empty nature, so as to enable you to develop the wisdom to finally see beyond form. This is then followed by the same understanding that all the other four aggregates of mind, Vedana, Sanya, Sankhara, Vijnana, are also impermanent, cause suffering, and are empty. Only then can you start to develop the understanding of why form is emptiness and emptiness is form. 1.4. Mundane life with and without spiritual understanding. We can be very successful in life both financially and career-wise. Both are mundane aspects of life, but without the spiritual understanding, we are still vulnerable and many things can still afflict us, especially so that First Noble Truth, eight conditions, which are also the realities of life and existence. This is the reason why the Buddha renounced the world once he saw the four signs of an old man, a sick man, a very sick man, a dead man, and a samana, or a renounced holy man in robe. The then Buddha truly realized that he had a problem with regards to old age, sickness, and death. Hence, he seeks the spiritual understanding to gain the wisdom to free himself from this problem. He then developed the spiritual understanding and became a Sammasambuddha underneath the Bodhi tree. Without the true spiritual understanding or wisdom, one cannot be free from all suffering because one can still have fear, worry, and anxiety, etc. via one's own self-delusion, which will condition one to cling onto and grasp at one's five aggregates of form and mind. Hence, one should realize the importance of cultivating the spiritual understanding via meditation as taught by the Buddha. to enable one to live a noble life of love, peace, joy, and harmony. Only then can there be no more fear, worry, anxiety, unhappiness, and suffering, etc. The spiritual understanding will lead to non-delusion and wisdom, enabling one to clearly understand who you are, what you are, and how human beings function, and eventually leading to enlightenment in the here and the now. 1.5 Essential Understanding. In the recap, Brother Teo emphasized on the following. 1. The importance of understanding Dhammapada verses 1, 2, 183, 21, 22, and 23. And the final advice of the Buddha before his Parinibbana. Once one comprehends these verses, one will understand the importance of training the mind to be heedful and ever mindful. One will like wake up from their deluded dream state by seeing the danger of heedlessness, and one will then be very serious about life to develop the cultivation. 2. The danger of letting these three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, which are the roots of all evil, from manifesting in our hearts. 3. The importance of arising the four right efforts to root out the three evil roots and the five mental hindrances. 4. The importance of cultivating the five spiritual faculties to overcome the five mental hindrances of mind. Note. Number 1. Under Kaya Nupasana, there is a category of cultivation called Sati Sampajana, mindfulness and the four types of clear comprehension of every action and movement in the present moment. This is the most important cultivation. It can help stabilize one's sati or mindfulness via the daily mindfulness cultivation. Hence, this is the reason why Brother Teo always says, life itself is the real meditation, and life is our true name, true teacher. 2. The four types of clear comprehension are clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, clear comprehension of domain of meditation, clear comprehension of suitability, and clear comprehension of non-delusion. The domain of meditation means one can meditate in any posture, anywhere, and any place, at any time, under any circumstances. 4. Anything external form that's created by mind via perception is only a mental image. It comes and it goes, and it is impermanent, not so real and empty. To cling onto it is obviously a delusion. Form is never a problem if we know how to develop the mind to understand it, so that we are not deluded or deceived by it.
Okay. I will explain number 4. So this number 4 is very important. All external form that is created by mind, they come in through perception, correct or not? It's only a mental image. How do you perceive it? Through your consciousness, understand? Mental image, where you have that image laterally inverted. Then your brain has the understanding to make it upright. Yeah, based on physics, you know, the light that goes in is inverted, then the brain make it upright. So this is what perception is. That's why do not be deluded by worldly perception. So all form that is created by mind, the mundane mind via perception, is just a mental image. It comes and it goes, hence it's impermanent, not so real and empty. To cling onto it is obviously a delusion, isn't it? Like I explained just now. Externally, already not so real, dependent originating, condition arising. Then how do you know that form? That form arises from perception, which is just an image. It's even more unreal. That's why when you understand all this, then you realize form is never a problem. It's just like thought. Thought is never a problem. Thought is like money, neither good or bad. It depends on the user. That's why to live life, you need thought. But you must have wisdom. The user of thought must have wisdom. That's why you act not according to memory. You act according to wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path. That is the understanding. So now you understand why at that time I mentioned form is never a problem. If you know how to develop the mind to understand it so that we are not deluded or deceived by it, then the existential world is beautiful, wonderful. You understand? You can appreciate form. You can insight into phenomena, awaken to the universal characteristic. You can experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of nature, which include all the beautiful forms, the very unique, pristine natures arising. So everything that you come to perceive, if it is pristine, is meaningful, is beautiful, is really extraordinarily amazing. That's why when you look at nature, nature is so beautiful. Do you realize, just now who was closing the window? Pigeon. Where is Pigeon? Oh, lying down. Oh, never mind. Let him lie down. Did you all saw or not when we started the sixth patriot? That's what I said. Ah, misty, like the Kuan Yin type of misty, the sense of breeze through all over. Then after that, as I start, the rain become more heavy and more heavy until we finish the Hasuda. That is what nature is, understand? That's why when you have the understanding, the sensitivity, you will understand what is going on. So a lot of these things, if you have the sensitivity of that nature, you can comprehend many things. You can rejoice. You can appreciate. And there is one aspect of life which is the most beautiful. That's why phase three, Pativeda, is the most beautiful aspect of our life as a cultivator. That's why Bodhisattva keep on coming. Why? It is so wonderful. And the other word that we have to use is that path, that way is so rewarding, understand? The reward comes from the understanding to live life. When you understand life, you know how to live life. That is really rewarding. That's why the Heart Sutta also mentioned when you realize true emptiness, zhen kong miao you, then life become wonderful. True emptiness is wonderful existence. That's why these teachings, they are there. So hopefully, with all this understanding, it will drive you with the faith, with the diligence, sadha and virya, to go all out and never be heedless again. To understand this, to have the understanding of cultivator, like Huining, what did he say? Nothing else except Buddhahood. If your heart is not big enough, you can never progress. For him, he has that type of nature, yet he comes, he seeks that one. But he knows that one is very difficult to realize. So cultivation need causes and conditions, need what they call the window, the condition. When the window exists like now, you better go all out, make aspiration, determination, affirmation, make vow, and plant the seed of Bodhi deep with faith and understanding. and sincerely move. Once you do that, all your future coming taken care of. Just like I told the Form 4 guy, study hard for 1 year plus, your future all taken care. That is mundane. Eh? But this one, make affirmation on it, understand? No? Make that determination with the faith and understand. That plant the seed of Bodhi, that follow the Bodhisattva or the yellow card. And determine to have all this right view, understanding, the essential Dhamma. So that life after life, they are with you. Then you won't get lost. Even non-sasana, you won't get lost. So this is what you need to understand. Okay, isn't it? One lifetime, even one complete lifetime also worry. Not to say now, with this understanding, you determine maybe 1 year, 2 year, everything is already set. That's right. You look at Poche, when she go all out during the, what they call, MCO, or the pandemic. Yet she strive on with faithfulness and go all out, contemplated Maranatha Sati and go all out to cultivate this teaching. So this is something very, very encouraging for Kayanamita. She also doesn't understand much when she came the year 2017. Then like she said, initially when the sister asked him to come, he actually is not really interested. Because Tai Gui Ho Mia, like I said, understand? Because her family, everything, no problem. But later on, after attending for a while, she realized the beauty of this and the importance of this. Then somehow the condition arrived. She determined she must develop this. Then when she commit herself, waiting for the retreat, the pandemic comes. Cannot attend retreat. But blessing in disguise. Because after that, we had the Zoom, so we come back, everything fall into place. Then for 8 months, I explained this Heart Sutta. It was during that time she developed so much that she never really had time to go into this in such detail. And that time, she attended the Zoom non-stop. Then she experienced so much transformation where she just followed. Be simple. Don't be complicated. Just listen to instruction and just find out, inquire and do. Like Kosek share, if she can do it, all Kayamita should be able to do. So don't have any doubt. Don't allow the mundane mind to come through the back door and tell you, ah, yeah, not for me, one, like, I wear can. You continue like that. Then maybe next asana only got chance to meet again. Otherwise, there's no loss of your way. But whatever it is, for you all to have the causes and conditions to receive this teaching and to be here, you have your parami. But don't be complacent, please. You miss this window, it's going to take you very, very long. Like the opening statement of the Mahayana Sutta. Maybe 500 million eons, you can never meet a Samasamudra or receive such teaching. So this sharing is very useful, very beautiful, and hopefully it can give you faith and develop the virya for you to determine strongly to go all out, to make sure that you don't waste your precious window to have this capability to develop such understanding life after life, not only this life. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, read the last one. Yeah?
Number five, cultivating the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths as taught by the Buddha, leading to the three types of corresponding wisdom called Sutta-maya-panya, Citta-maya-panya, and Bhavana-maya-panya is very important. For details, please refer to Brother Teo's Dhamma Notes on understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha.
Okay, I will just wrap it up, huh? Because another 5 minutes, huh? You all should start your meditation. So this straightening of the Four Noble Truths is inside that book, huh? Which I think is a transcript book. Based on the email that I wrote to Cultivator of the Way, then they print it out and we develop the transcript. It's on the title is Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. It's in the website. I describe the three types of corresponding wisdom. Born of the first turning, second turning, and the third turning of the Four Noble Truths. So first turning is proclamation of Dhamma by the Buddha. If you have the path, you listen, you awaken, then that wisdom is called Sutamaya Panya. Means wisdom, which is Panya, born of hearing the Sutta, which is the discourse of the Buddha. Then second turning, you reflect, contemplate, and inquire based on the second turning guideline as proclaimed by the Buddha. So when you contemplate, reflect, and inquire, you will develop more stability of what you have heard, what you have read, and what you have studied. So once this one stabilized, you will be able to assimilate, yeah, all of the beautiful teachings that you have heard, studied, and learned, yeah, and develop a more stable base to receive truth. So this stability or understanding is the second turning wisdom called Chintamaya Panya. Then finally, the third turning wisdom is all about enlightenment. That one you need to meditate. That's why it's called Bhavanamaya Panya. Bhavana means meditative training. Wisdom born of bhavana, born of the meditative training. That's why you must develop mindfulness, heedfulness, leading to the realization of the true nature, the self nature, the stability of the awareness nature. And use that to meditate. Awareness-based meditation. Okay? So let us rejoice, huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.